Ladies and gentlemen, please have a seat. Joan? Okay, thanks, Olivia. You got the lineup of the speakers, please. Is Steve here? Okay. Can you please take your seats? We're going to start. Just a little bit of housekeeping before I pass the mic over to provide you with the official welcome. There's yellow little tags that my assistants are handing out for the drink tickets. Please, if you haven't received them. Constantine, where are you? He's right over there, so he has little tickets. So again, this evening, we have a great slate of speakers, and we have a wonderful performance lined up with Derek. So before I go any further, if I'd like to pass this baton on to Olivier, so to do the formal welcome from ALAC.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this Naralo Showcase, which we have, quite a traditional event that we have at ICANN meetings. Of course, in London, we didn't have a showcase because we had an at-large, a full at-large. What was it called, Glenn? The at-large event? It was an event, wasn't it? A huge thing over in London. The pictures are on the Atlas 2 website, the Fair of Opportunities. That's what it was called. So we've started pretty much on time, but I see a lot of people coming in, and I know that we're going to have Steve Crocker coming down, so I might have to speak until Steve makes it down here. But it's a real pleasure to see you here and to be over in the birthplace of ICANN, Los Angeles. Wow. Yes. So it's certainly a good place to be in. I think that if a choice of location for ICANN to start, it was LA was certainly quite a good place. It changed an enormous amount. I don't know if any of you has actually been to the old building, the ISI building. I think that some board members, I certainly know of a few that have been in ICANN since those days. And of course, they've now moved over to these offices, which are just down the road from here, just on the other side of the movie studios and so on. So it's really great to see you. It's great to see Naralo being, as they are, going from strength to strength. Our community is constantly growing with more and more at-large structures that are joining and more work being undertaken. Since I started 4 years ago, the number of policy statements has exploded in numbers. We've had more statements than at any other time in our history. And of course, it's all down to the very hard work of all of the volunteers in this organization, the pen holders, the people that bring in the comments, that go back to their communities and that try and find out what the point of view is of the internet end user. Because that's what, that really is what At Large is about. Bringing in the input from the internet end users with volunteers that go to ICANN meetings, that talk on countless number of conference calls, that spend nights working on issues which affect them eventually, but which they have absolutely, in which they have absolutely no financial incentive. So it's really great to see so much dedication from so many people. In addition to this, I'd like to add that Naralo, being in a region of the world which really doesn't have much problem as far as internet connectivity is concerned, each region is very different from each other. So some regions have language issues. Some regions have accessibility issues as far as geographical location, as far as internet connectivity. And you know, they also participate. But this region has a number of other issues that it started looking at. And I'd like to recognize this. Most recently, we've had a new at-large structure that dealt with disability issues. The forgotten billion people on the internet that nobody really thinks about, but in fact, there are quite a few people out there. And on one occasion, I have felt that disability by breaking a leg while skiing. I'm not a very good skier at all. I broke my leg, and it's only then that I really realized that life is a lot harder when you have such a problem. And unfortunately, on the internet and in many of those organizations that are companies and non-for-profits and so on that don't deal with these specific issues, we don't really have very much time to think about this. So I think it's important to note that Naralo has led the way in having an at-large structure that deals specifically with those issues, and that a working group has now been created in at-large to deal with these issues. Another issue in the North American region, and in fact in some other parts of the world as well, is that of Nations. That's it. I'm not used to saying it in this way because in French we have different expressions and so on, but First Nations. And it's also very good to see that Naralo has taken the lead on this and has decided to dedicate its showcase today to First Nations. It's certainly a first step. I think other regions might do this as well with their local communities. We'll see a little bit later. I'm really looking forward to this showcase because I think I'll learn a lot. Being a stupid Frenchman that only thinks of Americans as eating hot dogs, hamburgers, and Elvis Presley, I'll learn a lot more about this country. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce, I think Steve hasn't made it yet, but perhaps we can swap people over. So introduce Fadi Shehadeh, who's the president and CEO of ICANN. Fadi?
Okay. Good evening to all of you. It is good to be in my region, my personal region, and here in LA, my hometown. I started the week by looking at my calendar for the whole week, and since I'm in my hometown, I live at home with, besides my wife, obviously, with my mother. And so I said, Mom, would you like to come this week? And we were looking at the whole calendar of the week when she should come. And then I thought of her as really, she should be a Naralo member because she is an end user. And so the only half hour my mom is here all week is now. So she's right there. My mother just turned 88, and she's never used a typewriter in her life. So she went from nothing to an iPad. And I think her great-grandchildren, of which she has many, think she loves the iPad more than them. She has an iPad with a red cover that is pretty much attached to her. And I must tell you a very funny story. She's going to be embarrassed, but it's okay. We live in the same household, but she has a separate apartment within the household. And we have linked all the Apple gadgets in the house to the Apple house system, a speaker system in the house. So if you want to listen to music in the whole house, you can just, you know, connect your iPad or iPhone to that. So one night, my wife and I were soundly asleep at 2 a.m. And we and we woke up literally, I mean, we fell off the bed. There was a massive sound in the house. And we didn't know what's going on. We first thought some aliens were taking over the house because there was screaming and we didn't know what to do. We had no idea. We started thinking, what could be going on? The neighbors, we were sleeping in the same bed. We couldn't hear each other. That's how loud it was. Anyway, the bottom line is she was watching a video on her iPad because she woke up. She was sleepless, and it was a church video with a priest telling some big sermon. But she had mistakenly pushed the AirPlay button. So, and she has no speakers in her side of the house. So she didn't know why it wasn't working. So she kept upping the volume, upping the volume, upping the volume. And of course, our house was shaking. Anyway, that was her worst iPad experience. Otherwise, it's amazing. It's amazing. As an 88-year-old who just never stops, we're all chasing her. She just came back from Canada. She went to Canada and came back. She's unstoppable. She is. When people ask me, where do you get your energy? I get it from her genes, for sure. She's really an inspiration to me. So, thank you, Mama. I'm glad. Now, yesterday night, I did something I hadn't done before. In this room, I had a chance to meet with all the heads of the Ralos. I invited all of the global leaders of ICANN to a listening session where we spent, after a long day and everyone was tired, we spent time to listen to the leaders of each of the regions. Then I spent another 2 hours in the evening after we left you with my team. And I must tell you, we unanimously felt this was the most meaningful, honest, substantive session we've had in a long time at ICANN. I can't thank you enough. You know, each one of you, Aziz, Manush, all of you, incredible. You came with input to help us make ICANN better. That was honest and substantive. Really, we were moved by you. And I thank you for that. It was very, very important for us to hear that. And even though you were telling us things we could do better, things we can improve in front of the whole team, in front of your board members, Rinalia and Sebastian, your new leaders, you know, Olivier, of course, and Alan. But just superb. Absolutely superb. And we're going to act on it. We agreed we'll keep these meetings. We will run a scorecard of what you asked us to look at. And we will communicate with you regularly on this. And if this proves useful, we might have phone calls between ICANN meetings as well to make sure we continue to listen to you and improve what we do. But now to the substance you told us, I must say, and I think I'm not speaking out of place here with all of you in the room, we were struck by your diversity. I go to so many ICANN sessions where it's, frankly, people from the same region talking. But here, each one of you brought a completely different perspective. And you really cover the regions. you know, you are what I can should be, in a way. Really remarkable. I want to commit to you here in front of many of my team members that we will take what you told us to heart and learn from it. You can ask Olivier and Alan. I met with them again this afternoon, which this is the kind of thing we didn't do as much before, and I'm very glad I did. And again, Alan and Olivier gave me good, pointed input on areas where things are not working, and we will address them with the full power of our resources, but more importantly, with the full commitment to the public interest, which you represent very, very well, in a very diverse and real way. So, North America. Is it 32 now, Evan? Are we 32 ALSs? Where's Evan? Or is it 32 ALSs now? And I think you just added two, I understand, the Manitoba E-Association. Where? Okay, here he is. Hi. Congratulations. Welcome. And the Native Public Media ALS. Here they are. Okay, congratulations. Welcome. Happy to have you here. And the showcase is a beautiful thing your community, the Ralos, always do. And that's why, again, I thought this is a good time for my family to be here and to see it and enjoy it and understand the community aspect of ICANN. And we make policy and we make governance and we do all kinds of things. But it's the community that makes many of you come year after year and invest. We have one of our senior staff members is celebrating a very important birthday today. So I saw her in the morning and I congratulated her. It's a big birthday. And I said, wow, you're here at an ICANN meeting. I'm sorry that you have to be at an ICANN meeting instead of being... And she looked at me and very sincerely told me, but I am with my family. This is my community. I feel very good, actually. She was here working all day. She just left now to celebrate with her friends the evening. So this is a family, and you will come to discover that, despite the raucous arguments. But, you know, we argue in my family too, so long as we have common principles and common values, which we do here. This is also the community that brings us, frankly, to the truest part of our public interest commitment. So, you know, I was telling Alan this afternoon, I said, I deal with business people, I deal with registries, I deal with registrars, we deal with government, we deal with different people. But they all come, rightly so, with their agendas. I mean, they have interests and they're trying to pursue them. Here, it's pure. Each of you is here because you're a user and you want to bring the internet to the user community. And make it an internet that serves you. So, good luck to you here, and you, congratulations. I hope you have a successful experience with us. Welcome to ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you. Given that speech, he would be welcome at any ALAC meeting for sure. I'd like to turn over to Steve Crocker. Steve?
So I apologize for being a few minutes late, and it puts me in the usual unenviable position of having to follow Fadi. Did a quick bit of reflection. When we started building the network some 40-odd years ago, the real focus was just on the mechanics of how do we move bits around, how do we connect computers together. But we also recognized very quickly the social impact. And there's been a whole history of making up slogans. And our very first slogan was, networks bring people together. Relationships are formed, communities are formed. It really changes our lives. As the network grew, much bigger things happened, and one of the very biggest things is that it made possible reaching the communities that have not been the dominant communities that are sort of in control of the media and control of all of the resources. And it's provided opportunity for preservation, for flourishing, for growth, and for connectivity that might otherwise have been lost. And so just as the rise of the technology has in some ways been a force that's pushed out old things, it has also been a force in the opposite direction that's made it possible to preserve, both on a personal level, a family level, a community level, spiritual, religious level, and to do that not only within the local geographic communities, but also spread all around. So I think it is extremely positive and heartwarming to us who are sort of in the trenches of still working on the technology and making work that it has as much of an impact as it has. It makes it possible to have all of you here, and in many ways this is the payoff for all of the things that we've built. And so that's a real sense of fulfillment on our part and satisfaction and appreciation. So thank you very much. I could probably talk as long as Fadi, but not nearly as eloquently, so I'm just going to leave the stage and turn things over to your leaders.
Thank you, Steve. Now I'd like to turn to Loris Taylor. She's with Native Public Media to introduce our speaker.
Asqali. Asqali umayasa neqam eki nehalaydi umumi yoriqa. My name is Loris Taylor. I am the president and CEO of Native Public Media. I am from the Hopi Indian tribe of northeastern Arizona. And I'm here to introduce our dynamic speaker tonight. But before that, I just want to say that I truly believe that Native people have a right to communicate through their arts, through their dance, history, culture, and self-governance. And to realize this, we at Native Public Media work hard to overcome the digital and media divides that pervade Indian country. And we do this by securing broadcast licenses, by providing digital literacy and journalism, and by advocating for public policy that will remove the barriers and challenges that still exist in telecommunications law, rules, and regulations here in the United States. In 2004, we started out with knowing that broadband penetration across Indian country was less than 10%, and that one in three families in Indian country had access to analog telephone. And today, we have 53 broadcast facilities across the U.S. that are Native-owned and operated. 11 of those stations are streaming their programming on the internet every day, reaching people around the globe. We included tribal provisions in the U.S. National Broadband Plan, but we still have a long road ahead of us in order to really realize our telecommunications destiny. And so one of our strongest allies in this work has been the National Congress of American Indians. It's the oldest and most prestigious membership of elected tribal leaders in the United States. And at the helm of this powerful organization is a woman who is fierce, who is competent, dedicated, and trusted. She has a really impressive bio, which I'm not going to read to you tonight, but I want to tell you something about her that's not in her bio. She is our ambassador to the White House. She is our liaison to Congress and many of the federal agencies and state governments. She is also our voice before the United Nations, and she does the heavy lifting along with her team before tribal leaders sit to the table with the President of the United States and congressional leaders. And she is someone I deeply admire. I ask that once you welcome her to the podium, that you imagine yourself to be in a tribal longhouse or kiva by silencing your cell phones and by allowing yourselves to be still for at least 10 minutes so that you can hear her words. Ladies and gentlemen, I present the Executive Director of the National Congress of American Indians, member of the Raven Sockeye Clan of the Tlingit Nation, Jacqueline Johnson Peta.
Gunashchish. Gunashchish kusin yu hato asak suka adi ayahat. Kagwantan Yeti Yeshidak. In my own language, I introduced myself as most of us normally would. And in my language, I said, my Tlingit name is Kusin. It actually was given to me by my clan leader. It was his mother's name. I come from the Raven House, the Raven Sockeye House, and I come from Deshu, a small village in Alaska, which means the end of the trail. But in non-native terms, they call it Haines, Alaska. So it really is an honor to be able to be here today, and I also want to thank Loris for inviting me to be able to be here and share with you. She, too, is a champion. She has championed so many things and is actually the chair of our telecommunications committee at NCAI and is pushing forward technology to advance tribal leaders across the country. It's an honor to be here in L.A. It's the home of tribal nations, the Chumash, the Morongo, and the San Manuel tribes, as well as 111 other tribes in California. And so I'd like to welcome you here to a land of tribal nations. Like so many other tribal members, we're feeling a great resurgence of our cultural values, our traditions, and our language. And so on Monday night, when I got done with work, I rushed home because Monday night was the night of my language class, my virtual language class. And so I rushed so I could get on the internet and connect to my community at home in Alaska. And I'm actually joined the university there so I could to be online to go to school with them. And I was part of this class. And in the class, I have a group of high school students in a small village of Huna, Alaska. I have a retired teacher from Cake, Alaska, that's in the class. We have the instructor who's from Sitka, and she has a small group sitting with her. And then I'm joined by my daughter who lives in Maryland and another lady who lives in Anchorage. And we all come together in a community to be able to practice our language, to be able to sustain our language, because it's one of those indigenous languages that is dying. But what a joy it gives us all to be able to come together as a community. And then, of course, we have to kind of deal with the technology challenges. So we tried Google Hangout, and then we realized that the pixelation in some of the places that comes from our small communities doesn't really work well for being able to do the articulation of our language. And then we realized that all of us needed to have a Dropbox so that we could actually put all our lesson material in there. And that meant that you had to actually really be able to have internet sustained connection to be able to access it. And so then sometimes we just revert to the plain old telephone. And then we realized when we used the plain old telephone that there's something that I didn't really know this, but actually because our tonnage is longer, and so when the words cut off quicker on the telephone than it does with the way that we say something like, Latsin, for example. And so it comes across different in over a telephone. But my tribe is like a lot of tribes in the country who are seeing that not only is the internet providing access, but it really is the equalizer. And the opportunity for us to be able to provide and participate in global markets, whether it's with our native arts and crafts, or whether it's from Santa Fe, or whether it's the bison jerky that is being produced by the Great Sioux Nations, or whether it's the access to transformative education, virtual education, being provided through our tribal colleges, or the critical telemedicine that's being done in Alaska. But with internet, as you guys know, because this is what you guys do, comes all kinds of questions. And as tribal leaders, we're in the same boat. We're trying to figure out how to make our own policies. It just seems like yesterday that I was actually, when I was in the Clinton administration during that time period, and we went to take into some of the tribal communities their very first public computer with internet access. And we were actually having to have conversations with tribal leaders, particularly in the Pueblos, debating whether or not they actually wanted to be able to have the public to have access or have internet access in their communities. And so now, you know, from that point, which wasn't that long ago, we're now dealing with policies and issues of spectrum and cell tower placements and intellectual property protections and portability and protections from sacred places being mapped on the internet and virtual maps and internet security, just like all other governments. And the only challenge is, too many times, tribal governments aren't at the policy-making table. So as it was stated in my introduction, I work for National Congress of American Indians. And it's an organization that was created in 1944, and it's an institution of tribal governments that represent autonomous sovereign nations. And so this institution was created in 1944 when the U.S. government was trying to pass several pieces of legislation to legally terminate tribes. And although many of you may know about some of the grim history about the indigenous peoples in North America, one thing had always remained was that the sovereign rights and the governments of tribal nations was always recognized. Even so, that in the U.S. Constitution, it recognized tribal governments as sovereign nations. So this act in 1944 to actually legally terminate the rights of tribes really, really brought together, the tribes were very, very concerned and came together and they said, we absolutely recognize there is a point that we have to have representation in Washington, D.C. We have to be able to educate policy leaders and decision makers. We have to be able to be there to have the eyes and ears in Washington, D.C. to protect our rights. So that when policy decisions were made, that tribal leaders were actually at the table. Today, not much has changed. NCAI still advocates for the rights of tribal leadership and tribal governments. And to be able to make sure that as tribal governments, our rights are protected, and that we still sit at the table for policy discussions and recognize the contributions of our governments in the larger family of American governments. So, in preparation for today's speech, I reflected upon telecommunications and what's happening in Indian country. And it's a complex area with a mixed history of success. So just generally, really quickly, give you a little bit of demographics. We have a population of 5.2 million people. We comprise less than 2% of the United States population. But our communities are young and growing. Native populations have grown by 27% in the last decade compared to 10% the 10% increase of the U.S. population overall. So we have a strong segment of Native youth. 32% of our population is under the age of 18. What I think is, this provides us a great opportunity to guide and to mentor our young next leaders and to recognize that those leaders are growing up in a place and part of a population who is experimenting with new technologies and are very much a part of the way that they will communicate and the way that they see the world and how they connect to the rest of the world. So if we look at that and where Indian country is today, and just looking at the 2000 U.S. Census, and Loris alluded to some of these statistics, but it's estimated that Indian country had 10% of tribal lands had access to the internet, and that just 68% of tribal households had access to a basic telephone service. So when you take those statistics and you take our growing population, and it's no wonder why tribal leaders were concerned. And so tribal leaders, as they did in the past, came together and said, we need to advocate for our futures, particularly around telecom policy, that we want to be able to make these policies bridge the digital divide on our lands. And so during that time, we went to the government. We were able to make sure that we got this Office of Tribal Nations Affairs in the FCC. And we started to ask for regulations that addressed issues of access. And we've done a lot of things that have actually created to be able to help us start to address these challenges in our communities. So many tribes now have first-time connections to the internet through their Indian Health Service. Indian Health Care Service programs. They're federal programs that provide health care service, and also through their tribal schools, their public safety facilities, and their government buildings. But residential service still remains a challenge. And the drive of market forces still hasn't reached many of our communities. Neither has the connection on most of our lands. So frustrated by the surroundings of the non-tribal providers and their refusal to provide service on our lands, a number of tribes, as Loris mentioned, decided that they were going to take it upon themselves to create their own companies. And one of those phone companies was actually created in 1988, the Gila River Indian Community of Arizona. They have 372 acres of reservation on, and they sit adjacent to the 10th largest city in the nation, Phoenix, Arizona. And by that time, the tribal citizens there wanted to have access to basic phone service, something that everybody would want to have in this day and age. And some of their members were quoted figures of like $10,000 for a basic installation. So due to those high costs, the surrounding communication providers said, you know, we can't afford to build out to this tribal reservation, to the Gila River's reservation. And so the tribal citizens couldn't afford this basic utility. And leaving in their community only about 10 to 20% of phones having telephone penetration. And also, what the other big challenge is, also creating problems for emergency personnel when they were going to respond to violent crimes and other public safety concerns on the reservation. So today, Gila River created their own telephone service. They provide the residential and business services on the reservation, and their rates have jumped to 80% access. Not only that, they provide high-speed internet and is the economic engine for prosperity in their community. So Gila River is just one of the success stories in Indian country trying to address the digital divide. But many tribes are using the sophisticated broadband networks to create jobs and tribal businesses and tourism using the World Wide Web. Tribes like the Chickasaw Nation of Oklahoma have invested heavily in their technology. In fact, they have one of the great internet TV channels. And so you can learn a lot about Indian country just by going to Chickasaw Nation's website. But their dedication to the networks only has benefited their people, but has actually really helped them with their overall economic development. They're a stronghold in Oklahoma. They provide $2.4 billion to that state's economy. However, secure networks and website portals serve as the first line of defense in protecting our sensitive citizens and their economic information. And issues around cybersecurity remain a constant concern for tribes entering into this digital world. While our entry to the telecom world is more recent than others domestically and even across the globe, tribal nations stand ready to tackle those challenges. So another example of our people harnessing the power of the internet has been really in the use of social media networks. In fact, we used to say in Indian country, you know, it was the moccasin telegraph, you know, everybody knew what was going on, but now it's Facebook. And we all know what's going on, but through those platforms, we've really been able to use our voices and to express in our stories, to be able to provide more education about who we are as tribal governments, to be able to provide solutions to the global audience. When the UN came together to talk about global warming and issues related to the security of our environment, indigenous peoples were able to engage in a way that they hadn't been able to engage before. So it's through these development and all these partnerships that we're able to see the possibilities. And all we're saying is that when you bring tribal governments and indigenous peoples and you include them with other policymakers in setting forms such as this, you have a connected society which is truly representative of the diverse global society. Our kids, our young children, whether they be from a small village in Alaska or from a larger reservation in the Navajo Nation or from anywhere else in the world, want to be just as connected to the global society, still be able to celebrate our celebrations, to retain our language, to share our heritage, to be who we are, but be part of the global society. We thank you for considering us and bringing us to the table. Gunas chish. Gunas chish ho ho.
Truly inspiring. I'd like to call to our incoming chair for ALAC, Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. It's working? Thank you. And Steve thought he had a problem following Fatty. As you know, I'm the incoming chair, and I was assigned a task of thanking the sponsors and given 2 minutes to do that. I think that's a test to see if I could actually talk in 2 minutes. I'm tempted to go on for the next hour, and they'll reject me, and I won't have to do this, but I won't do that. Or maybe I will. No. Okay. When Glenn started talking about this event, I was one of the ones who said, are we really going to find sponsors to do yet another event? And good thing I didn't succeed in talking him out of it. And Glenn and his team has done a fine job. I'd like to thank Affilius. I'd like to thank VeriSign and Native Public Media for sponsoring this event and allowing us to be here today. Thank you.
Desiree, can you please come up? Desiree is with Affilius, and I have to point to the gentleman that's the outgoing chair, who was largely responsible for raising the funds, so I don't want to take any of that credit, so he's been done a great job. Desiree?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Glenn and Alan, for that introduction, and good evening, everyone. It's a great pleasure to be here, and thank you for the opportunity to sponsor another Naralo event. The previous one was in Toronto when my chairman spoke at a co-sponsor with Google. But I'm really happy to be here and to thank everyone for the invitation to be on this land, and thank the native people and the landowners for hosting this event in addition to ICANN. My energy level is a bit low, so I'll be very short because it's my 50th ICANN meeting. And so in the beginning, it was different. We didn't have at large ALSs, and we did have not even an election, if I can recall, of at large members and board directors did take place. But there's always this fabric of representation of public interest within ICANN, and the fact that these are the values on which ICANN was initially built. So it's really good to see now representatives that further represent that public interest and that the community is growing, and as well as ALSs. So with that, I'll thank you again and wish you a very good evening. Thank you.
So for our next event, we'll speed dial her number for sure. Our next speaker is Keith Dravick from VeriSign.
Okay, Hey, thank you and good evening. My name is Keith Drazik. I'm with VeriSign, also the chair of the Registries Stakeholder Group in the GNSO. I see some very familiar and friendly faces out there, and thank you very much for this opportunity. I want to thank Olivier for reaching out to me recently, but he and I have actually been working very closely together along with the other leaders of the various SOs, ACs, SGs, and Cs, the supporting organizations, advisory committees, stakeholder groups, and constituencies. I do have to say that the experience that we've had over the last, I think, really 3 months, maybe 4 months, and it's gone on longer than that, but it's been very, very intense over the last 3 months of our engagement in talking about the IANA transition and the ICANN accountability process and all of these different moving parts has really brought the community together, the community leaders and the community together around some core and key principles. And that is the bottom-up, multi-stakeholder, consensus-based process. And I do have to say that I feel like just in the last several months, we as a community have broken down silos and that we have developed newfound respect for each other's positions and visions and views and the reasons that we're all here as part of this ICANN community. And so when Olivier reached out to me and asked if VeriSign would be able to support this very important Naralo event, I said, absolutely, let me take this back and let me see what I can do. So I am very pleased to be here. I look forward to working with all of you, the friendly faces that I know and the new faces that I don't yet know. I hope I get to know you. Certainly welcome to Alan as the incoming chair. Thank you very much. I'll just wrap up. Thanks.
Okay, we have one more story to tell you, and our other ALS, the E Association of Manitoba, is Tony.
Tansay, Anin, Niganiga Bawayabe, Tajnaka. My name is Anthony Nigani, and my spirit name is Leading Male Buffalo. I was honored with a Buffalo Clan name. I come from the community of Pamitsikamak Cree Nation in the Kewatin Tribal Council region. I am Swampy Cree, so you can Google Swampy Cree and learn a little bit more about me. And one of the things that we do at the Manitoba E Association is we help communities build the e-capacity of their community members, their communities, and businesses. And as Indigenous people find, and as many people know, is we have a history beyond time immemorial. Our history is in our language, the spoken word. In order to understand what we say, you must take the time to listen, to hear, and to take away that lesson that you find in the story. Because we do not tell you the lesson, we provide you the story to help you find that answer for yourself. And so, as part of the Manitoba Association, we like to work with young people, work with youth. And one of the projects that I did is called eStories. We've heard of the Digital Storytelling Project. But when you go to the Aboriginal communities, we live in what can be called third world conditions, in what may be called a first world country. A project that I did a couple of years ago, and many of you will know my colleague who I did this project with, Darlene Thompson, who also is an ALS within the ICANN community. We went to Nunavut, and we taught young people how to use the tools of ICT to tell their story. And I want to share with you one of those stories from Nunavut. Ariel, thank you.
My name's Nick Makba. The title of the story is called My Hometown. I live in a community where the population is about 800, and everybody knows everybody there. It's very small. And every tourist and workers come up here, and they would say it's one of the nicest places in Nunavut so far. Which I would like to stay like that for as long as possible. And the scenery is one of a kind. During spring, the place would start to fog up, and it's just magical. And the hunting grounds are a place of wonders. Makes you wonder how many of my family members have gone here and wonder the same thing. I have caught my first polar bear, my first narwhal whale, my first seal on the hunting grounds. On the mountains surrounding the community, you would see from miles and miles, and it helps you to think how lucky you are to be living here. I have my family here with their brothers, sisters, and cousins, sharing the scenery with trust and care. We don't have a lot in our community. We only have 2 stores, no restaurants, no Walmarts, and no big buildings, nobody rushing, just calm, place to be in. The best part about my community is we have our own language and keep our culture with modern tools. We only speak English when spoken to, and we speak Inuktitut mostly. I have grown up most of my life here, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I love this land. I will never forget it. My memories, my experience, my friends and family will go away, but one thing I do know, they will always come back here. I call this place my home, but most people call it amazing, quiet, calm, but mostly they call it Arctic Bay, my hometown.
So we can see, by giving them the tools, they're able to tell their stories. Indigenous people have been given the greatest gift in history, and that is to be the stewards of the environment, the people with the knowledge to defend and protect Mother Earth. We are the brothers and sisters of the winged people, the winged nations, the birds, the sky. We are the brothers and sisters of the four-legged, the animals on the earth. We are the brothers and sisters of the water people, the fish, and we are all connected. Before the wireless came in, we understood that there was a connection between each and every one of us. The internet is just an opportunity to strengthen that connection between us all. For the first time in our history, we are globally connected to each other. So as stewards of the environment, we can bring to the internet environment a knowledge that has been built upon millions of years through our stories, through our language, through our greetings, through our names. I came to ICANN at the Singapore meeting. I was brought into ICANN through a special mentorship program, and it was a great honor. And like many of the fellows that come to ICANN for the first time, it was a wall of information. I know that information overload. I can understand it now. I can hear people telling me, be prepared for it, be prepared for it. You can never be prepared for it. You just got to jump into it. And then they took me to London, where I started to learn more. And it was just before the London meeting that Manitoba Youth Association became an ALS, an at-large structure. So now we can be the voice of not only Manitobans in Canada, but of the 400 First Nation Indigenous communities within Canada. And I am honored to be that voice. Today, I'd like to open the door for youth. The mentorship program is an opportunity to be expanded to bring Indigenous youth to the table. Let us work together. Let us walk hand in hand. Let us build a universe that connects us all. Kinanaskamit Nawa. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Fantastic. Just a little bit of housekeeping. We're wrapping up really soon. Constantine and he has drink tickets for the bar. I'd just like to pass to Eduardo to do acknowledgments and then a very short introduction of our dancer by Loris. Okay?
Thank you. I will have a negative 1 minute to do this. So I really like to thank Glenn and the team that work in putting this stuff together. And definitely, we have to thank staff, mostly Gisela, which I hear is what? The whole team, including me. And there is a show that is coming. She will be introducing them, and we want to acknowledge them and his team. And like I said, we are one internet, one world. That includes First Nation. Thank you.
We have a special performance tonight by Derek Sue Waima Davis, who comes from my village, from the Hopi Reservation. He is part Choctaw. He'll be doing a hoop dance for you tonight, and I think it's going to be in the bag. But before Derek and his singers come in, I also want to introduce my special friend, James Haven. He's a producer, filmmaker, ambassador. Look out for his new film called The Court of Conscience coming out soon. So just want to do a shout out. But so if we could all just go to the back of the room, we can enjoy the performance by Derek Sue Waima Davis. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that big roaring round of applause. Kokwai, kokwai. Kokwai may absosium to falta ti na Derek Suwaima Davis yan matiwa na tapwangwa o jaive anka. I know maybe only one other person, or maybe Loris is the only one who understood what I shared with you in Hopi language, right? That's a little bit of Hopi language, and just saying, you know, expressing thanks for all of us gathering here. My name is Derek Suwaima Davis. I'm from the village of Olaribi, from the Greasewood clan. That's the northeast part of Arizona, and I do have a grandmother who is Choctaw from Pearl River, Mississippi. Myself, my friend, we'd like to take you on a cultural journey. But we've been having a good time. I'm certain that you're going to continue to have a wonderful time. So to encourage all that, we're going to sing a song that's been composed by Mr. Palikwaptua here, National Anthem. And there's going to be a portion in the song where I'm going to shake the rattle, and he's going to do the roll on the drum, and I want everyone to yell your best. You know, like he always says, like your favorite football team scored. You know, you want everybody to roar like a big old theater, all right? Here we go. So join in. Real simple song here. We're going to have a good time.
Hey, why not? How is it?
Quiet. We're going to share a version of Eagle Dance for you. And for us, you know, like many cultures around the world, maintaining balance being very important. Around the world, our ancestors learn how to take care of themselves physically, you know, psychologically, spiritually, and find ways to express gratitude for everything that we depend on. For many of our First Nations, we rely on the eagle to deliver prayers and often bring prayers and offer protection with our livelihoods. So I know that you all had hopefully a safe travel here. You'll have a safe time here, you'll have a good heart and being able to work and develop something healthy for all of us to utilize. So this dance is for us a way to express gratitude to the eagle for its assistance in our lives. Eagle dance.
Hey, ma, qua, ma, na, da.
Thank you. Quiet, I'm yes, so you're not a man, be a nankta for over to be like your gang happy natty tough to tane. Nesikyahunti, your piano pimats, your town, some open. In my Hopi language, I express gratitude for every one of us gathering here tonight. My English name is Rayon Polikwaptua, and I come to you from the Hopi people as a matrilineal society, everything comes from our mother's side, so I'm born into the Sun Clan. So once again, we're very happy to be here to share some of our music, our songs, our dances, especially the spirits of the drums and especially the spirits of the flutes. And pretty much we're surrounded by modern technology, science, engineering, and doctors trying to find better ways to heal the human body. But we as Native American people still utilizing our backyards as our pharmacy. So once again, the cedar tree is one of the most powerful plants in our territories, and which is why we adopted it to heal our sick and wounded individuals. Soon it was made into an instrument, the Native American flute. Now very lot of cultures all across the world utilize this flute for meditational purposes, but it's still in that form of healing. And in the Northern Plains area, it was used as a courtship instrument for dating. A young bachelor, you know, didn't have the guts to go up to this beautiful girl and talk to her. He would simply sit outside her house and play a beautiful song, and hopefully the girl would come out and sit next to him. If not, the father would come out with some sticks and rocks and start throwing the guy, you know, tell him to get as far away as possible. You know, I've tried this many times, but they don't throw sticks and rocks anymore. They throw you a restraining order. So, once again, I'm going to try my best to indulge you and entertain you with my Native American flute, and hopefully y'all enjoy this song. Thank you very much.